Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 165 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the dreamscaping, synchronicity-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back on Blog Talk Radio. And I hope you did not hear what I just heard, which was my little opening jingle sounding very broken up. I know Blog Talk Radio is having some problems today that are unrelated to whatever sound issues I've been having. So, good Lord, I don't know what is up lately with all of this sound issues, but it's appropriate for today's show because we are talking about sound magic, if you can believe that. So have a good laugh at my expense. I hope the sound is okay today. And before I get started, I feel very awkward not acknowledging the tragedy that just happened in Orlando. I don't want to make a political statement about it. I just want to say that or get choked up, which is hard not to do. I just want to say that my heart goes out to all of those people and for anyone who, for whom that event like struck fear in your heart about going out into the world. I know quite a few of my listeners, because of my own personal experience and like attracts like, that some of you have problems with agoraphobia and fear of the world. So I'm sending you love, especially today, because I know news like that can be particularly frightening when you're trying to get yourself out of the house. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And there are more good people in the world than bad, and love always wins. I really believe that. And you can just see all of the people that have risen up and gathered around this event. They far outnumber the bad guys. And I think it's important to always remember that. John Oliver, if you watch HBO, he has kind of a news parody show. It's comedy. And what he said really resonated with me. I was like, I like that. I like the way he led into his comedy show. He acknowledged what happened in Orlando, you know, saying it's heartbreaking and it's sad. And he didn't really know how to segue into, you know, doing comedy, but he said something that I thought was interesting. I totally agree with this. He said, for the record, I will happily embrace a Latin nightclub or a Latin night at a gay nightclub in the theme park capital of the world as the ultimate symbol of what is truly wonderful about America. And I totally concur. And then he went on to say, like, okay, now we're going to get silly. I feel the same way. I'm about to get silly. I personally am silly, but I don't think that what I'm sharing here today or ever really is silly. I think it's important and sometimes life-changing, as so many of you have written in to tell me. So for that, I thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you are able to see through my silly and that what I do matters to you. It matters to me too. You all do. It matters to me that you show up here week after week, that you come back over to Facebook or shoot me an email to tell me what you think or leave me a review on iTunes or donate to keep the show ad-free. It feels like a real partnership to me, and I love that. And because tragedies like the one that we just experienced in Orlando always reminds me to live, really live every day of my life and to be grateful for each day and every experience, this episode feels especially resonant for me. And so I am just because that's fresh on my mind. So I am so honored that you have chosen to spend 30 minutes of your one precious life with me here now. Namaste, which is namaste. And one big special thank you to Charlene for donating to the podcast. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. And still working on improving the sound quality, but thank you for having faith in me enough to part with your dollars. If anyone else wants to donate, it's super easy. There is a donate button on the left-hand sidebar of my website at www.joannadeveaux.com. As for today, sound quality willing, we are going to talk about sound magic. I can't even remember exactly what I titled the show, but it involved Claydons and Freudian slips, your inner soundtrack, clairaudience. I'm hoping to briefly hit on all of those things in a little bit of time we have together. But first, I have to put it in the framework of why. I hope you know by now, because I've said it 10 jillion times here, there, and everywhere, that I have been working with Sidewalk Oracles by Robert Moss. A super fun book of games for working with signs, symbols, and synchronicity in your everyday life. It is a magic book. It's so fun. I am not new to working with synchronicity, signs, and symbols, but this book just has, I can't explain it. You have to read it to see for yourself. It's so playful. And if you're a person who enjoys working with synchronicity, this is just going to take it up a million notches. It's just so much fun if you actually play the games in the book. Super fun if you have partners or a group of people to talk to. As far as I know, about 36 of you have already bought the book since I've been talking about it. So we kind of have an unofficial book club going on here. And that doesn't count those of you who haven't told me. A lot of people have sent in pictures of themselves holding the book. I should make like a big collage of us all holding our books because it's so cute and so fun. And then just shoot it over to Robert Moss because he would probably love that. but a main principle in the book, it's a term that he coined called chiromancy. Chiro is a real word, and mancy basically means divination. So it's divination by the special moments of your life, divination by synchronicity loosely. And Robert Moss says Kairos, the word Kairos is K-A-I-R-O-S. It is Greek. Kairos is jump time, opportunity time, the special moment that you seize or miss. In Kairos moments, you may feel you have been released from linear time and that powers from outside time have erupted into your world. So anytime you feel like, ooh, like a deja vu feeling, or some phrase like strikes you in a certain way, or some really cool synchronicity like, whoa, shows up in your life, that's Kairos time. And chiromancy is the art of navigating your life by synchronicity. Robert Moss says that it's when life rhymes. It's when life rhymes, which I love and is a super appropriate way to think of it when you start to consider synchronicities of an auditory nature, synchronicities that you hear, which is what we are specifically talking about here today, sound magic. A chiromancer is someone who these are not my words. These are Robert Moss's words. I'm going to quote him a lot, so I'll try to remember to keep saying that. Hopefully you can tell the difference between the way he talks and the way I talk. A chiromancer is someone who is poised to catch the messages in special moments when synchronicity is in play and to take action, to seize the opportunities those moments present. That's the important part, people. It's not enough to just be like, ooh, what a cool synchronicity. If you are a person that loves magic, if you call yourself a witch, if you are a law of attraction practitioner, like you are practicing living your life by the law of attraction or magic, what are you going to do with that synchronicity is the important thing. otherwise, what's the point? So it's really about noticing those special moments and then seizing them by taking action on the messages that you receive. Assuming there are messages. If you like to work with the trickster archetype, a trickster totem, chiromancy is for you. Robert Moss, again, I'm going to quote him. He says, trickster is the mode of the gatekeeper, that power that opens doors in your life, adopts when you need to change and adapt and recover your sense of humor. If you are set in your ways and wedded to a linear agenda, the trickster can be your devil. If you are open to the unexpected and willing to turn on a dime or something similar, the trickster can be a very good friend. The trickster will find ways to correct over-controlling or ego-driven agendas, just as spontaneous night dreams can explode waking fantasies and delusions. Whew, so that's that, chiromancy, the work of the trickster. It's a little jolt from the universe. It's like, hey, pay attention. You're being guided here. Guided is actually one of the three words I am working with this year. I'm working with the queen archetype. And then I picked core desired feelings at the top of the year. I do that every year on the winter solstice. FYI, the summer solstice is coming up and I'm selling the summer solstice module on my website and on the psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com website and on social media. It's super easy to find. But on the winter solstice, I pick three words, feeling words to work with for the year ahead. And this year I picked supported. What did I pick? I can't even think. Supported, guided, and blessed. So being guided is really important to me. So I think it's pretty appropriate that Sidewalk Oracles entered my life this year, because chiromancy is all about being guided and letting synchronicity guide your life. Another word that might be new to you, besides chiromancy, it has to be new to you if you've never heard of Robert Moss, because he made it up. But this next one is a Greek word, kledon, also starts with a K, K-L-E-D-O-N. Again, quoting Robert Moss, the Greek word kledon refers to the first sounds you hear coming from silence. Monitoring kledons was a favorite form of divination in the ancient world. A kledon is words or sounds coming out of silence or out of the cacophony of urban noise bands. That's amazing. What an amazing phrase. The cacophony of urban noise bands. In ancient Greece, kledons were highly valued as portents. It was believed that the gods who loved disguises might communicate in this way. This was thought to be especially likely when a hush falls in the midst of a social event, like a dinner party. The first words to break that social silence were inspected as possible I tried to practice it before the show. Hermion. H-E-R. M-E-I-O-N, Hermion, which is to say an act of Hermes, the messenger god who personifies the play of synchronicity. Hermes is considered a trickster god, FYI. So there are two mentions in the Kledon section of Sidewalk Oracles that really speak to me personally. One, because I'm a writer. He says, if you are interested in writing, sidewalk snatches of conversation can be like starter dough. Starter dough. Don't you love the way he puts things? I love this man's mind. He is so playful, and it invites you to be playful in your own life. And if you're a writer, you know that writer's block is real, and that shit can mess with your head. So I love the idea of, you know, stealing little snatches of conversation that you hear out and about as starter dough. I love the idea of hitting a patch of writer's block and then intentionally going on a walk through your neighborhood or local mall, spying on passerby's conversation and listening for little bits of dialogue that you might be able to use in your script or your book or whatever you're writing, or just random bits of insight that kind of get the juices flowing. You know, you can carry a little recorder with you. Your phone, I'm sure, has a recording device built in, and just record into it, like, whatever you hear that catches your ear. And you don't have to be a writer to do this. You can do this for any kind of problem that you feel stuck on. And I actually did this when I was actively reading this book. I'm done reading it. I'm still playing the games because they're fun and I intend to play them forever. But when I was in the midst of reading the book, I actually got stuck on a situation and I was like, my tarot cards really weren't working for me and my own mess of a mind definitely wasn't working for me. So I decided to play around with this idea of a Clayton. And I got in my car. I had to drive to go pick my son up from his program and I rolled the windows down. And before I pulled out of my drive, I just said this little like prayer to the universe, like the net, you know, saying the next phrase that I hear, I will assume that that is your answer. That's your answer to my problem. So my problem was I was feeling torn between the daily maintenance of my online business, which is how I make my money, and a long-held big life goal of creating stories for both. This is a huge life goal of mine, long-held, for both the commercial publishing world and movies. If you don't know this about me, I got started as a writer writing scripts, writing screenplays, and I've never gotten to see one of my screenplays made into a movie, although I've come close a couple of times. Big dream. I keep thinking, oh, when am I going to get around to that? And it all kind of reached ahead for me when a publishing opportunity unexpectedly came my way, and I did not have the room in my schedule to take advantage of this lucky break. I tried to schedule a lot of interviews, but as you know, that's when all the audio problems started happening. I thought doing interviews would save me time because I wouldn't be creating my usual content, and it actually cost me more time because I was messing around with the audio, and then I had to go in for the video interviews and edit them, which took a lot of time. I had to like cut different clips together to make them work. And I was just like, why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to do? I can't do it all. You know, I'm a mom to the special needs adult. I run this business by myself. I do every aspect of it by myself. And it's awesome. It pays my bills, but it's also at a point where I need an assistant and I still don't have an assistant and I have to keep it going at the level it's going to pay my bills. But now this opportunity's come along. You can sense the angst, I'm sure, in me trying to explain this to you, but that's where I was. And I was just about to create and publish some trailers for the two ebooks that I wrote earlier in the year with the intention of running them on YouTube as commercials, you know, those little annoying commercials that pop up when you're trying to watch a YouTube video. I was going to be one of those annoying commercials. I thought that was a great way to support myself financially, to introduce my work to strangers, and perhaps create some passive income where I wasn't working so hard. And that I was just about to do that when this opportunity came along and I was like, oh my God, I can't do it all. So that was the issue when I got in my car and asked for a Clayton from the universe. So I had never done it before. I had never tried this technique before. So I'm driving down the road, a busy road in a busy city. I live in a suburb of Los Angeles. I can see downtown from my front yard. And I swear to you, I drove all the way down this long, long, long strip to the freeway. And I didn't hear a sound. It was so freaky. There was no sound. And I was like, what in the world? This is like the noisiest place. How is nobody talking, you know? And there were a lot of stops at stop signs and stoplights. And there's people walking around, you know? So I thought I'd catch a glimpse of some conversation. Nothing. So I always keep my iPod really loaded up. And what's cool about it is it'll pick up on an episode where you left off. So I had a bunch of different podcast episodes in my iPod, and I decided to play a little game of podcast roulette. So I was sitting at the last stop sign before the freeway, and I turned my iPod on, and I just kind of like didn't look. I just scrolled through with my thumb, like, la-la-la-la-la, I'm just going to land on whatever I land on, and I hit play, and the first words that came out were the business of story, and it was in this really dramatic way with music behind it, the business of story, and that cracked me up. I won't get too far into that because I've got 10 minutes left here and there are other things I want to talk about. So moving on, my answer from the universe is the business of story. Yes, yes, take advantage of that writing opportunity, you ding dong. You can make your YouTube video commercials later. So that's what I'm doing. The other thing that he mentions in the section about Claydon's is, and I quote, the most eloquent, urgent Claydon's may be expressed in the language of birds. Ah, I love birds. Maybe that's because I'm an air sign, but I really do. And then he goes on to talk about how ravens and crows have such a rich vocabulary, which got me totally excited because you may have heard me talk here before about a book that, by the way, I listen to on audio, which I very rarely do. I love to read books and underline books, but I got Gifts of the Crow, which is actually about all corvids. So it's about ravens and crows and other kinds of blackbirds that fall into the corvid umbrella. And that book blew my mind. I recommend reading it. The audio is awesome. Whatever you want to do, it's so cool if you're interested in ravens or crows, because these birds are crazy smart and they have a really diverse language. My two favorite birds are ravens and hummingbirds. It's hard to pick between the two. And we have tons of them where I live, like so many, it's comical. So I'm always listening to them talk. And then we have big fruit trees in the backyard with all kinds of birds, dozens and dozens, and they all have different languages. So that's something that I do all the time. But I thought thinking of that in a different framework as being Claydon's and messages from the universe, I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of different. I love that. So I started listening to the bird language on a whole other level. And what I noticed is the bird language, even though we don't speak bird, it has a certain primal feel to it. Very specific. You can identify sounds of distress or really happy sounds. Sometimes I've mentioned here a few times about hummingbirds. My favorite sound they make is when they buzz by me. They sound like little fairies going, "Wee!" And it's just the happiest, most joyful sound. So that's an interesting thing to try out if you're interested in working with Claydon's and maybe you're super witchy and you love animal totems and all of that. You start keeping your ears out for the birds or other animals. And witches do work with synchronicity all the time. It's something any one of us can do. Anybody. You don't have to be witchy. You can be an atheist. It don't matter. It's something any one of us can do to make life a little or a lot more. It's made my life a lot more magical. And to feel a real sense that you're not alone in the world and you are, in fact, being guided. And I just, it's so spooky and so cool. I challenge you to play around with working with synchronicity and chiromancy and then tell me I don't think I'm being guided, because it's just so eerie and right on. Whether it's a figment of your imagination or it's your higher self, your subconscious mind interacting with you, it really doesn't matter, because the guidance is good. A really basic form of an auditory aha moment is the classic Freudian slip, which I believe most of us are familiar with. Does everybody know what a Freudian slip is? I feel like they do. There's a section in Sidewalk Oracles on Freudian slips. But I actually pulled up a couple of just standard dictionary definitions. Freudian slips are named after Sigmund Freud, in case you didn't know. They are. He was really into stuff like, he would probably, well, I don't know, he wasn't a very affable guy, so maybe he wouldn't like Robert Moss, but he should like Robert Moss. But the two I pulled up, one is Freudian slip, an unintentional error regarded as revealing subconscious feelings. Revealing your feelings. Number two, Freudian slip, an inadvertent mistake in speech or writing that is thought to reveal a person's unconscious motives, wishes, or attitudes. So the next time someone slips up like that in conversation, pay attention. You might be getting a glimpse into their secret world or hidden motivations. And if you're the one making the slip, just take a pause and sit with it. I always crack up when I say something like that. Just, I do it a lot. I've done it a lot on this show. Maybe I need to go listen back to old episodes and be like, aha, there it is. My shadow has revealed itself. I think that's just a really fun way to pay attention. It's a good start. That's good starter dough. Speaking of starter dough, it's good starter dough for chiromancy. And then clairaudience, I wanted to talk about today as well briefly, even though I'm almost out of time. Clairaudience is basically a brand of psychic gift. I think we all are psychic. We all have strong intuition. If we're willing to listen to it, it's something that can be developed. And it does present itself to people in different ways. Like clairvoyance is someone who sees images. You can have multiple senses that act intuitively or psychically, however you want to phrase it. Clairaudience is definitely one of my gifts. I'm clairvoyant sometimes too. And then sometimes I just get like unknowing. So I kind of have three things going on like that. But clairaudience, if you don't know, like, well, how do you know if you're clairaudient or you're experiencing a clairaudient moment? I'll give you a few examples. So it's when you hear someone say your name. That's a really common one. Or blurt out a set of instructions or just a random statement when nobody is around. When you're like home alone by yourself, but you swear you just heard a voice. It could be like the voice of your grandma or just a stranger's voice, your own voice, but you definitely heard something. It can be when relevant song lyrics pop into your head at the exact moment you need an answer to a problem, or you're contemplating something or wondering how to proceed with some issue. I would talk about your inner soundtrack, and this has a lot to do with that. I don't have enough time to get into that, but I've talked about it here before. If you wake up in the morning and you have some song in your head, and just take a pause and think about the lyrics to the song and then maybe touch back with yourself on that throughout your day and see if it didn't have a message for you. That's a way of working with clairaudience. Also, animals or trees or flowers or rocks. If these things are telling you things, like fully formed ideas just pop into your head when you're interacting with nature, you, my friend, might be clairaudient. I gave an example, I think it was last week, of someone telling me, they weren't literally telling me, I was dreaming, and they told me in my ear in great detail the way that they betrayed me, and then it ended up coming true. That is clairaudience at its finest. That is spooky and cool, and I love it. You'll sometimes hear stories of parents who like wake up in the middle of the night to go check on their kids because they voice told them to get up and go check on their kids. That's fairly common. I've heard that happen a lot. And so they get up to go check on their kids, only to find out that they really needed to go check on their kids in that moment, that it was an emergency situation. So that guidance, who knows what that's coming from? You might think it's coming from your guardian angels, God, your higher self, a dead ancestor, but it's hard to deny when it happens to you. And then speaking of audio, for the summer solstice module, I only did this for the solstices. There's a guided meditation, little bonus track for you. For those of you that like to work with fairies, it's about working with your own fairy as a form of guidance. So basically, your higher self takes on the form of a fairy in this guided meditation. It's super cool. Check it out. Summer solstice is less than a week away. People, www.psychospiritualwheelofbeer.com. And until we meet again, play with the chiromancy. Much love to you. Peace.